tongue in.
We also strongly recommend that people should refrain from having a social gathering of five or more people nationwide.
The people of many nations are hearing edicts like that from South Korea. This is Wednesday, the 23rd of December, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, the UK is cut off from many places after a new strain of virus is found. The last continent of Earth that was COVID-free is not COVID-free anymore. A Hong Kong family decides they have had enough, and a tough go of it for migrants in Pakistan. That and more on today's VOA Asia. South Korea Tuesday moved to shut down all ski resorts and winter tourist spots in a bid to stop the novel coronavirus spreading as a third wave of the pandemic proves much tougher to contain in the densely populated region of the capital city. Flora Bradley Watson has more.
South Korea is battling a new outbreak of coronavirus infections, putting its no lockdown strategy to the test. The surge has rattled the country that for much of 2020 was held up as a COVID-19 success story.
My name is Wu.
On Tuesday, it moved to shut down all ski resorts and winter tourist spots from this Thursday until early January. There's also a ban on gatherings of more than four people in Seoul and its surrounding areas, though funerals and weddings are exempt. Disinfection officer Yoon Tae-ho said people should heed the rules across the whole country.
We also strongly recommend that people should refrain from having a social gathering of five or more people nationwide. Considering infection cases among family members and friends, restaurants need to ban a reservation and an entry for five or more people. If they breach these measures, they will be fined.
The national government has so far resisted calls to impose phase three in the country's anti-COVID-19 plans. That would mean the toughest category of social distancing rules, essentially locking down Asia's fourth largest economy. South Korea announced its highest number of daily deaths on Monday with 24 fatalities, and there were a record number of new cases on Sunday. This third wave of the virus has been particularly hard for contact tracers to get on top of, as it emerged in the densely populated capital region.
That was Flora Bradley Watson reporting. Meanwhile, the world's longest streak without a local coronavirus infection has been broken. Taiwanese health officials say a woman in her 30s has tested positive after coming into contact earlier this month with a New Zealand-born pilot who was infected while traveling overseas. The woman is Taiwan's first locally transmitted COVID-19 case since April 12th, a stretch of 253 days. Taiwan has been pointed to as a success story in how to respond to the pandemic, with just 766 total cases and just seven deaths, according to the Johns Hopkins Coronavirus Research Center. The island began checking on the passengers on flights from Wuhan, the Chinese city where the pandemic began in the early days of the outbreak, for fever and pneumonia symptoms. And Antarctica has lost its designation as the last continent on Earth without a COVID-19 infection. At least 36 people stationed at a Chilean research base in the icy continent recently tested positive for the novel coronavirus, including 26 members of the Chilean army and 10 civilian contractors. We invite you to read more in our top stories by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the voanews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. The U.S. State Department has issued additional visa restrictions on Chinese officials suspected of human rights abuses. Thailand urges tight virus controls for big holiday celebrations. Two human traffickers are found guilty of manslaughter in the death of 39 Vietnamese who died in the back of a truck crossing from Belgium to Britain last year. At least three doctors and their driver were killed and other wounded in an explosion in Kabul as they were driving to work at the country's largest prison. Pollution deaths in India reportedly rise to 1.67 million last year. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. This is VOA Asia. Over 40 countries have imposed travel bans on people arriving from Britain after the government announced last week it had detected a new, more contagious strain of the coronavirus. As Henry Ridgewell reports from London, the restrictions have caused major disruption as Britain struggles to contain this latest outbreak.
Cut off from much of Europe, chaos at major ports. Britain has been effectively quarantined by its neighbours. Dozens of countries elsewhere have banned travel to and from the country, including India, Canada, and Russia. Britain's Prime Minister said Monday the government was trying to persuade European allies to end the blockade.
We in the UK fully understand the anxieties of our friends about COVID, their anxieties about the new variant. But it's also true that we believe the risks of transmission by a solitary driver sitting alone in the cab are really very low. And so we hope to make progress as fast as we possibly can.
The restrictions are being felt most acutely at Dover. Around 10,000 trucks use the rail and ferry crossing to the French port of Calais every day. Among those stranded is Polish trucker Stanislav Olbrich.
I have three children and wife, and they need me to come for Christmas. Christmas in Poland is a very special holiday. It's bind with religion and traditional. It's for Polish people, it's very hard to be away on Christmas. So this situation cost me very hard.
British exports are directly affected, while imports could be hit if European drivers refuse to travel. British supermarkets have warned of possible shortages. Britain announced late last week that it had identified a mutant strain of the coronavirus, which is 70% more transmissible. That prompted other countries to impose travel bans. The European Commission Tuesday recommended that all non-essential travel to and from Britain should be discouraged, but added that transport workers such as truck drivers should be exempt and that flight and rail bans should be lifted. EU member states are not obliged to follow the advice, and talks between Britain and other EU states are ongoing.
Vliegverbod van nu is uit voorzorg genomen.
The current flight ban has been taken as a precaution. Other restrictions on other travel options from the United Kingdom are currently being considered.
Meanwhile, over 16 million people in southern Britain, including London, have been put in the highest lockdown tier, with household mixing and non-essential travel prohibited.
I think that the new strain of the virus is definitely concerning, and I think it is the right decision, but I just wish it would have been made a few days earlier.
Scientists say the new variant of the virus makes the rollout of vaccines even more critical. Over 500,000 Britons have now received their first dose of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. Meanwhile, it's just days before Britain is due to leave the Brexit transition period on January 1st, with no trade deal yet agreed. Deal or no deal, Britain's EU exit is predicted to cause further trade and travel disruption. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
U.S. officials are considering a requirement for all travelers from Britain to offer proof they've tested negative for COVID-19. News outlets say the White House Coronavirus Task Force met Monday and discussed crafting a rule that passengers prove they have taken a negative test within 48 or 72 hours before leaving Britain. The proposed rule comes as more than 40 countries have suspended travelers from Britain in response to a dramatic rise of infections because of that new strain of the virus sweeping across the country. The United States has not restricted flights from Britain, however. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said he has asked airlines flying into his state from Britain to make all passengers take a COVID-19 test before they get on the plane. Three airlines, Virgin Atlantic, British Airways, and Delta Airlines, have agreed to Governor Cuomo's request. In the western United States, Governor Jay Inslee of Washington State Monday ordered a 14-day quarantine for all travelers entering the state from Britain and South Africa, where a similar mutation of COVID-19 has been identified. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, said Monday it is possible the new variant of the novel coronavirus is already in the United States. Happening now in Asia, Thailand blames a spike in coronavirus cases on illegal migration after the country's biggest outbreak yet saw more than 1,000 infections, mostly among workers from Myanmar. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Happy you're with us on VOA Asia. Every mid-autumn festival, Asa Lai and her daughters make mooncakes for the extended family. This year will be their last one in Hong Kong before the Lais uproot and emigrate to Scotland. Libby Hogan reports.
This is the last time the Lai family celebrated mid-autumn festival in Hong Kong, making mooncakes together. Asa and Willie say they no longer recognize the city they grew up in. After the demands of millions of people marching together last year were dismissed by the city's government, and Beijing imposed a sweeping national security law in June on Hong Kong that China says will maintain public safety and bring order after last year's anti-government protests. Officials also are adamant that the rights and freedoms of citizens remain intact. A Hong Kong government spokesman said last year's, quote, violent protests and anarchy on the streets may be one of the motivations for people choosing to emigrate, along with job, schooling and business opportunities or other personal reasons. But critics say the law further erodes autonomy in the city, and it's been followed by a relentless crackdown on dissent. The Lai family say the response to the protests has brought uncertainty into their lives and push them to emigrate to Scotland.
Us leaving is not because of politics as such, but we're leaving because politics is now impacting our lives. We're leaving Hong Kong because it isn't ideal for our children's future.
Asa and Willie were filled with hope that the city would turn towards greater democracy last year as they marched with their children during the 2 million strong June rally. But authorities dug in their heels. Police have arrested roughly 10,000 people in relation to the demonstrations.
If the youth have to worry and have to fear to speak out, then this isn't a suitable place. The best I can do right now is bring them to a more suitable environment. What's incredibly sad about this is I can only help my own children.
Hong Kong, a former British colony, was promised wide-ranging freedoms when it was returned to Chinese rule in 1997. Since the imposition of the new security law, authorities have removed some pro-democracy books in libraries, banned certain songs, raided a newsroom, and more. The Lais are among thousands of Hong Kongers looking to escape Beijing's tightening grip. Initial indications show this may be a second wave of migration, similar to the decade leading up to the 1997 handover. They are sacrificing a comfortable life and rebuilding it in a place they've never been before.
This house is the result of our hardship. Together we've experienced highs and lows, especially these few years with our third child, we've experienced some lows. But I hope we can continue on through the hardship and the path ahead.
After 3 days of packing and sifting through years of memories, they say their final goodbyes.
I'm quite nervous. It's not the same feeling as going on holiday. We're going to such an unfamiliar place. Who knows what will happen and what challenges we face?
It's not a farewell. Just see you soon.
That was Libby Hogan reporting.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. see, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news from VOA Asia. China's foreign ministry says that country will take countermeasures against additional U.S. visa bans on Chinese officials. The United States Monday imposed additional restrictions on Chinese officials over alleged human rights abuses. All of the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia.
This is Business Scene. I'm Doug Bernard. Every winter, Lorena Stoppet and her cousins would warm their feet in woolen socks freshly knitted by their grandmother. As the brightly colored pairs stacked up in her cupboard, the 32-year-old felt inspired to share the creations with the rest of the world, co-founding a crafts venture that not only sells such handmade products, but also delves into the seldom told lives of their mostly elderly female workers.
It's also the tradition and the skills that we're trying to preserve. Each product has a story, historical and cultural value. Let's say we want to keep the legacy alive, watching for like money. So that's also one of our objectives.
Ajis, meaning grandmothers, offers a variety of products, including knitwear, blankets, and jewelry. Ajis now has 30 elderly women and men working with them, using traditional Nepali techniques and materials. The crafts are sold at two stores in the Kathmandu Valley and online marketplace Etsy, and give elderly residents a productive job. Dilhara Tuladar is one of the happy workers.
I am happy. I want to work. Work is very good instead of staying idle. Old people say you shouldn't work, but I really enjoy working. I want to do it and tell others to get involved.
The company works closely with makers' children or grandchildren, all in an effort to help the families develop closer bonds. As a stopover solution for those who missed the last metro and a real tourist attraction for visitors from abroad, Tokyo's capsule hotels are now struggling to attract customers at a time when everyone is avoiding enclosed spaces and promiscuity. Now, one capsule is offering capsule offices. The hotel has renovated a quarter of its 256 sleeping cabins by removing the horizontal partition that once separated two berths, creating an individual workspace that now has all the comfort of a real office. Shintaro Koizumi, a hotel employee, says turning a hotel room into an office is not as unlikely as it seems.
We are still inside the capsule hotel, so guests can also enjoy its advantages with an optional public bath or extend their stay for one night in the hotel section.
Open from 9 a.m. until midnight, these capsule offices can be rented for around 500 yen per hour or 3,000 yen per day. If the experiment proves successful in the long term, the managers could extend the offer to all of their establishments nationwide. For Business Scene, I'm Doug Bernard.
A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Can the coronavirus survive in cold weather? Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of the questions is no. The best steps to take: wash your hands, cover your cough, stay at home if you're sick or advised to by local authorities. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
This is VOA Asia. Many refugees who end up in Pakistan are having a very difficult time. Mohammed Saqib looked into that. His report is narrated by Behzad Hamdard.
At just 13, Nadeem Iqbal had already migrated around three different countries. Hoping for a better life, his family migrated from Bihar, India to Bangladesh and finally settled in Pakistan. Today, he is an assistant professor at Sir Syed University of Engineering and Technology in Karachi. But because he was not a Pakistani citizen, Iqbal faced many challenges early on.
In the beginning, I did various work. I sold combs. I sold lawnmowers near a supermarket. I sold watches. It was a livelihood, but it was very painful and difficult days for me.
Despite difficulties, Iqbal was able to complete his engineering studies and began teaching electrical engineering in Pakistan. Iqbal isn't alone. Since Bangladesh declared its independence from Pakistan in 1971, millions of former East Pakistan residents migrated to Karachi for a better life. Many of them still don't qualify for citizenship, as some nationalist parties think that the issuance of citizenship on humanitarian grounds could lead to open floodgates of refugees in the country.
I'm very worried. I can't do anything anywhere. I can't get a job. There's nothing else I can do. We're very worried about our ID cards.
My brother's national identity card has been withheld for almost 5 years by authorities, so he can't get a job. You can't get salary, you can't open a bank account. His wife can't get an ID card, and their children are facing problems getting enrolled in a school.
According to the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, there are 1.4 million registered Afghan refugees in Pakistan. But there is no record available of refugees from Myanmar, Iran, Bangladesh, and India. The government estimates they are in millions. Mohammed Zahid is a social worker who has been working to solve the problems of the Bengali community. He demands they be recognized as citizens of Pakistan since they have been residing here for decades.
Authorities asked them to provide proof of migration from 1971 to 1986. But what about the people who came here after 1986? What will be their children's future? We asked the government to find a solution for them to get their identification cards.
For those who have been living in Pakistan for decades, their hope is to be treated as national citizens of Pakistan. For Mohammed Saqib in Karachi, Pakistan, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
For some members of the LGBT community in Wuhan, China, Vogue dancing rewards them with a sense of freedom they crave, especially during the challenging times of COVID-19. Brian Wood reports.
In a former factory in Wuhan, China, 22-year-old Xiang Feng, or Dai Qi, catwalks, spins, and dips. Each of these moves are components of a style of dance called voguing, popularized by a mostly queer black community in the United States during the 1980s. It was seen most often in underground competitions called ballroom. Today, voguing has made its way to this central Chinese city, which just 1 year ago was in the spotlight for a very different reason. It was the original epicenter of the health pandemic, detecting the world's first cases. In January, Wuhan went on a 76-day lockdown and was isolated from the rest of the country. Dai Qi is the only Vogue instructor in the city and says his small class has swollen in size since the lockdown was lifted. His students say they look to live more authentic lives in the wake of a traumatic year. 23-year-old Crisp is one of them.
After this pandemic, I feel that Vogue dancing has given me a lot of emotional support during this period, because it made me realize that we need to seize every minute and every second to be who we are. We have to cherish ourselves and pursue a better quality of life.
Together, Dai Qi and his class filmed a music video, their first in-person project together since the lockdown ended.
The purpose of shooting this video is to let everyone know that Wuhan also has a voguing and ballroom culture. Previously, because of the pandemic, everyone was locked up at home and couldn't get out. So everyone could only make video calls to practice online. Now our situation is much better, and we finally have time to come out and shoot this video.
Voguing is not well known in a country that strongly censors LGBT content and rejects non-traditional families.
And yet, Wuhan has its own thriving community because of people like Daiki, whose dream now is to keep growing Wuhan's first ballroom community.
That was Brian Wood with the story. You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. And you can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thank you for being with us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Do your best to stay safe and enjoy the day ahead.